Are we locked?
Wait, we low-key might be locked.
I think there's like a pretty good chance we're locked.
You should demonstrate for him.
Okay, man. Let me show him how locked we are. Yeah. All right, ready? What's going on, Titans? Welcome back to another episode of Daily Titan Podcast, or DT Pod for short. In today's episode, we're going to be going over volume 117, issue number 9 of the Daily Titan student newspaper. In today's episode, we're going to be covering a couple of topics, including a lot about ASI wellness, including a news story and an opinion about it, as well as a lifestyle feature profiling an app developer. We're also going to be doing a little sports roundup featuring track and field, baseball, and softball. Stay tuned, Titans.
We got a lot on the roster today.
And you know, we got even more, because I have to tell them that I'm one of your co-hosts, Kabir Kansar, your news design editor, and I'm joined with
Jaden Lovelady, the opinion editor.
And just like that, we're locked.
Right.
So in the interest of avoiding a conflict of interest, we actually are not going to have Jaden on this segment because she wrote an opinion story related to the ASI Wellness Initiative that we will be discussing later on in the episode. So for now, you get to enjoy me and our managing editor, Ruben Montoya, who is also an attendee of the press conference and wrote a killer story about it, talk about what's going on with the ASI Wellness Initiative.
Yes, sir. So first and foremost, the ASI Wellness Initiative was finally passed after 3 years of, you know, just going through the processes at this campus and some back and forth, too. But students should know that starting in the fall semester, fall 2025, that their campus union fee will be jumping from the current $170 per semester to $211 per semester. And then that will increase in the 26-27 school year to $266, $372 in 27-28, and $536 in 28-29. So overall, that will be a 215% increase in the amount they pay every semester towards that fee.
That's insane. That's a crazy jump. So with all these fees rising, what is this money being allocated towards?
So as of right now, this is just most of the stuff that has been proposed is just that. It's a proposal. In the immediate future, students can expect to see a fall concert. So that was one of the things they mentioned starting in the fall 2025 semester. And then going forward, they can expect to see things such as perhaps a new wellness center, which would include things like massage therapy, acupuncture, and relaxation workshops. And another thing that has been proposed is also to consolidate some campus services such as the ASI Food Pantry, CSUF Basic Needs, Tuffy's Career Closet, and CalFresh all into one location.
Okay. So would this be like a new building they construct? Or?
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, it's not like 100% right now, but that's what they're saying is they want to plan out a new building. Yeah.
So with this just being a proposal, what other steps of approval do they have to go through before any of these plans can be like solidified?
So with construction, for example, that would need to be handled by that would first need to be approved by the Cal State University system. And then the construction itself would be handled by CSUF since this is happening on state-owned property. And then after that happens, then it would basically just be handed over to ASI so that they can handle the day-to-day operations. But, you know, as with any construction project, it would just have to go through, like, planning and, you know, from the CSU level, probably with the city, state, funding things, construction, codes, et cetera.
So, Roshan was also in attendance at this press conference on the panel. What role does admin play in the whole process of the ASI Wellness Initiative? Is this like all coming from the students in ASI, or like does admin also have a hand in this?
Yeah, so this started, it was first approved by the ASI Board of Directors in 2023. But our previous presidents, Virgie and Alva. So firstly, Virgie, he didn't look at the ASI Wellness Initiative. He kind of just left it on his desk. Alva came in, and in February last year, she blocked the initiative.
Was there a reason behind her blocking it?
I believe it was mainly just because that she had concerns with the cost of the overall cost on students, especially considering that at the time the tuition hikes were just approved. So they sent it back. I believe they reduced the costs from their original proposal, and now we got what we got now, which is still, you know, like I said, 215% increase from the current fees.
So what kind of role would the increase in fees also play considering like student tuition and other fees that happen on campus?
Yeah, so with the current student fees, currently it's at $341 total. So that's with the associate student body fee at $90 and the $170 that I previously mentioned for the campus union fee. So as it stands, there's no proposals at the moment to raise any other student fees related to ASI. However, obviously, you know, as you said, with the tuition, students can also expect to pay an increase of $448 in their total tuition starting in the fall. And that's going with the 6% increases each school year, which started this school year and runs in through 2028-29.
Okay. So the peak of this fee for the ASI campus union fee will peak at the same time that we finish up paying off the 6% increase every year?
Yes, that's okay. What it looks like. $536 in total for the campus union fee by 2028-29.
Okay. Now I have a very important question for you.
Mm.
If you had $536 in your pocket right now, what would you buy?
Geez, that's a great question. I could probably buy, well, they don't do $5 Little Caesars no more. If they still did that, I'd buy however many pizzas I could with that money.
And what would you do with the remaining $1?
The remaining $1? I'd buy a scratcher. Yeah.
Mm, and what would you do with the money you win from the scratcher?
I'd buy probably my own island. Yeah.
Fire.
Yes. I'd start my own country.
Can I get an invite?
Yeah, you're invited.
Amazing.
You can be my vice president.
Let's go.
Yes, sir.
Well, then I think we've conducted business here. I think we've made a lot of achievements.
I think we did too.
Yes. I think it's now time we step on Air Force One and get out of here.
Yeah. We're gonna dip.
Yeah. Bye. I'll meet you back down on the runway though. I gotta finish up this episode real quick.
All right. See you.
See you.
Hey Titans, it's Isaiah Malari, your digital managing editor here at the Daily Titan. Thanks to everyone who donated last week for Titans Day Giving. We hope you keep supporting us by keeping up with the newspaper and following us on all of our social media platforms at The Daily Titan and at DailyTitan.com. Thank you, guys.
All right, launching on into lifestyle, we are joined by our lifestyle editor, Sarah Leon, to talk about a story on how a new app is launching this week. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you for having me.
How are
you
doing? Of course.
I'm doing good. I'm doing good today.
Yeah. So what's your story about this week?
So basically, it's this guy named Bryant Doolin. He has been working on this app for nearly 8 years now. What this app does is it helps people to better find jobs. So if you go on sites like Indeed and ZipRecruiter, he explained it to me like they're search engines. You put in a title that you want, like a painter, and all these different types of painters will come up. But with his app, if you put in the specific skills that you have in a specific field, jobs that are catered to your specific skills will come up.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like a matching form.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
And a lot of people, he says that he doesn't like the term, but it's very fitting. A lot of people describe it as the Tinder of job apps.
I was literally just going to say that. I was like, this is like dating.
Yeah, no, literally. Yes.
Yeah. Wait, so what's this app called?
It's called Cobeo.
Right.
So it's going to launch this week is what he told me. And if you go on the app store, you're going to see a big wolf on it. He says he loves wolves. So like, he made an app with a wolf on it.
So what else did you learn in talking to him?
I learned that this man is from Colorado. He has had education all over the world. Like, he went to Whittier College. He went to the Presidio Graduate School. And then after that, he went to the University of Dauphine.
Wow.
And he basically majored in business, but his specialty is sustainable business.
Okay.
So he wanted to create an app that was like helping people, or basically preaching his business ethics, which is sustainability. And so that's why he created this as well.
Is there like a target demographic for who the app is kind of tailored to in terms of like matching skill sets to employers or anything like that?
Right now, he says that he just wants to help people who really are struggling, like college students, local businesses, things like that. And what's really cool is that he's already done pilots for this, already has had almost 2,500 people like use the pilot before. And that's what he really wanted to do. And when he told me that when he really like was trying to find that idea, he and then his team had just sold their company, metalprices.com. And that was sold to Argus Media, I believe. And basically, he was living in Aspen, Colorado, and he told me that he was like very depressed, bored. He was trying to find something that could help people. And he went into a cafe and he was like hearing not only the managers say like they just can't find people that want to stay and like actually like being there, but he also was hearing employees that is like, I can't find anything that will pay me good and is near my house and things like that. And that's when he was like, this is a huge problem. Why don't I create a solution for it?
If you could put any word in the headline, what word would it be?
Oh my God.
Any word.
Better have a good answer.
Words that I say a lot. I'm trying to think. Sorry, guys. Sorry.
And do you want examples?
Yes, give me examples.
Like, mine would be benevolent.
Benevolent?
I want that in an opinion headline bad.
You know what I want?
Such a crazy word
to use.
What
do you want?
Like, that just actually popped. Quintessential.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one. That's a banger. That's a good one.
Give me a quintessential idea of a headline, please. Mm. Like, I want that right now.
Yeah.
Need
okay,
that.
Okay, fire. Okay, catch those two words in DT.
Soon.
Soon. Like, soon. This week. This next week.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, Sarah.
Of course.
Welcome to Pod.
Thank you.
Hey.
So, you have some thoughts on this. And yes. I have some thoughts on this.
Right.
So what are your thoughts that you portrayed in the opinion piece?
So, yeah, I basically covered in this piece how the CSC system is in a financial deficit right now, as well as Governor Newsom's budget proposal might slash our funding by 8%. So it's kind of hard to see why ASI would bring forth such an expensive initiative in such a financially unsteady time. The students paying for it now won't even see the changes of the broad stroke of the plan until after they graduate college.
Yeah, something Ruben covered in the news segment was that the fee is jumping next semester, even mm-hmm. though construction is not proposed to start for another 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
And while there are things that they've done in the short term, like the proposal like fall concert and things like that, mm-hmm. it seems like the big hills they're like really trying to climb with this, like the whole like expanding the SRC, expanding the TSU, those big benefits they've been preaching on as like the main parts of this mm-hmm. don't seem to be something that students now are going to be able to see.
No. Like, to put it in perspective, freshmen enrolling or like starting next fall, they won't even see the construction start until their senior year or after they graduate.
That's insane.
But the fee starts right now.
But the fee starts right now.
Well, next semester.
Yeah. It's tough to buy into this when you know that you're not going to see the like this come to fruition in your time as a mm-hmm. student.
It's also hard to back up. Or it's hard to believe in when none of these plans are concrete at all. They're all just, like, theoretical still. Except for the fee. That is a literal promise that will go up next semester. However, everything else is just, in theory, we want to do this. So
correct me if I'm wrong, because I totally could be. Mm-hmm. But from my perspective, the way it seems like this played out was, hey, we have these ideas that we need money for. Here's the fee that you're going to give us the money for, but we'll see if these ideas really play out
yes.
with the money you've given us.
Yes.
Okay.
And, I mean, that's the nature of an initiative, though.
Well,
like,
yeah.
None of it is going to be concrete until it actually happens. I just think, like, these are very ambitious plans.
Yeah.
And such an expensive promise to make. It's interesting that they chose right now to go through with this, given the financial instability the CSU system is in.
Yeah, and this is something they've been working on for a while.
Yeah, like 3 years almost.
Yeah.
But, you know, even so, it's just, it'll be over $3 million to expand the TSU and SRC.
Not to mention the wellness center that Ruben was talking about.
Yeah, not to mention the other stuff. That's just the construction, like, trajectory. So it's like, I don't know. It's a lot. And the student interview I conducted for this, she was saying, like, she didn't even know what this stuff was. This was her first time hearing about it.
That was what really stuck out to me about this article, because it's, like, for students to be benefited by this initiative, yet not even know that this initiative is going on, or that, like, what's projected within the initiative, mm-hmm. that says a lot about the way the initiative, like, is going to go as a whole.
Yeah. They did do things to ensure, like, student voices being heard within planning this initiative. Like, they did two alternative consultations as opposed to a referendum, where a referendum is, like, a direct vote,
mm-hmm.
And a consultation is more, like, feedback,
right, I guess. Like, discussing the idea. Yeah.
And they did, like, go on campus with presentations. They did group studies and surveys and stuff like that. But we're such a big school, it's hard to tell what the majority think off such a small sample size comparison to how big our student body is.
Yeah, like, especially with, like, they going into different locations with presentations and stuff. Yeah. Like, a lot of students don't get to see that because mm-hmm. it's where the presentation's at and things like that.
Yeah. It's also hard to argue that, like, the SRC and the TSU are really pillars of, like, campus wellness when we are a commuter campus, you know? Yeah. Like, it's a hard thing to ignore. Not everybody uses the SRC or the TSU. Like, the majority of us don't live here or, like, spend that much time to even enjoy all of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So,
yeah, one of the pieces in your article that I really wanted to draw attention to was the line that said, like, it's taking away from present tense individuals to give to a future tense campus community.
Mm-hmm.
And it, like, that really is what it is, or what it feels like, because it's, like, these are intangible things that we just aren't going to see yet.
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard to justify taking so much from students that are currently attending for a plan that they won't even see. And that's, like, a main sentiment of this entire initiative. And, like, even in the words of, like, ASI Vice President Suzette Morales, she said that we wouldn't have the TSU or SRC if students hadn't made a difficult decision for future Titans. And that's what they're doing right now. And all of this is for future Titans. But, you know, it's an upsetting thing to have to pay so much for a campus that we won't be attending when it comes to fruition. So I think, you know, it's a fair argument to make that students are footing the bill for what ASI wants to see.
Yeah. No, I don't think that's an inaccurate, like, statement to make. And especially when, like, one of the dimensions of wellness that they discussed was, like, financial wellness. Mm-hmm. And yet students are going to be financially unwell, like, paying this fee.
Right.
For this, like, wellness initiative.
Right.
It's kind
that
of
that they won't reap
that they
the
won't see
of.
It's kind of backwards. Yeah.
And I do get, like, per CSU policy, tuition finances, they're only used for, like, academics and operations and stuff. So the renovations and the expansions that they want to do with this initiative, they have to come from this campus fee.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But what they want, like I said, it's going to be over $3 million from one fee. So, like, by 28-29 school year, they're going to be paying $1,000 a year in this campus fee.
Insane.
That's crazy.
Insane.
For, like, stuff that's arguably not of urgent need, not,
yeah,
like, in a dire situation. So,
especially because, like, the wellness initiative itself is centered around, like, helping students with career readiness, mm-hmm. and, like, feeling more capable when they step out into the real world. But, like, I don't really, maybe I'm missing the point, but I don't see how expanding the gym is going to help students feel more prepared for a career.
Yeah. I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
It's also, if you really want to break it down, like, by 28-29, students will be paying $1,000 a year extra in this one campus fee to have, like, essentially more restaurant options in the TSU. Like, that, wow. You know? It's just a lot. Like, it's a good, I'm not even opposed to this initiative.
I think
there are good parts of it. And I think it could really benefit campus wellness like they want. I think it's just, like, the execution of it. Well, first of all, it's coming at a very financially unstable time,
yeah,
in the CSU system. Not even just Cal State Fullerton. It's just coming at such a unsteady time.
From an outsider's perspective, it seems like there are genuine, like, benefits inside of this initiative. It just doesn't feel like they're being well executed in terms of, like, there are more direct ways to impact and benefit student wellness as a whole on campus than, like, a 3-year construction plan.
Yeah, and, like, there's so much. I think that's one of their issues with this, to be honest. Like, there's so much ground they're trying to cover within this one initiative. Like, And that, you know, hence the fee being so high.
Right.
But it's like we said earlier, like present tense Titans are footing the bill for future tense wellness that we will not see. So I just think there are probably more financially sound ways they could have gone about this initiative.
Definitely.
You know, more tangible goals they could have put first instead of campaigning on expansion of TSU and SRC, which will cost over $3 million.
I think we're in a rush right now.
Oh, really? To where?
We have to race over to sports. We got to talk about track and field.
Right.
And
we do.
With Mr. Nicholas Wire, our official sports correspondent of the DT Pod.
Let's go.
Welcome back, Nick.
All right, so track and field.
Track and field. What's going on with them?
They just had a meet this last weekend. It was the Challenge Cup, and it was all Big West teams. They ended up placing third, both men's and women's.
Fire.
And I just wanted to highlight some individual performances specifically. So one cool thing, this is the highlight of the weekend. Sophomore Luke Hitchcock broke the Cal State Fullerton 800-meter school record. He finished a minute 49.36 seconds. He got second in the race, but he still broke the school record. So that's something cool.
We should get a statue for him or something.
Yeah, start building it right now.
Yeah, like right in the quad.
We gotta get on that.
Yeah.
Another sophomore, Brooklyn Davis. She placed in three separate events. So women's 100 meters. She's a sprinter. She got second and. She got third in the women's 200 meter, and then she was part of the relay team that ended up getting first place for the 4x100. So she had a great weekend. Sorry, go ahead.
Insane work. Sounds like a great weekend though. Definitely.
Yeah. Other people to highlight. One thing about Cal State Fullerton is they're pretty good at relays. The men's squad took first place and third place. They had two separate squads running in it. So they took first and third in the 4x400. And then other things to highlight, Rayshon Dozier, he placed fourth in the men's triple jump. And then he placed first in the men's long jump. So that was cool. 7.34 meters. And then the guy that placed second was 7.33 meters. And that was also fellow Titan Andrew Cornthwaite. So
dang,
a lot of success individually. And then as far as throwers, there's Braden Bitter and Hawken Miller. That was the highlight of the weekend for sports. As far as anything else going on this weekend, we had baseball. They lost 2 out of 3 games. Mm-hmm. They did win their last game though, and it was a big comeback victory. And
who'd they play against in that game?
It was a weekend series against UC San Diego.
Okay.
And kind of the highlight of that game is it was a tight score. They weren't losing, but and then they just exploded in the sixth inning, scored a bunch of runs. It was led by Carter Johnstone, who had 3 RBIs in that game. So that happened. They really needed that win. It was their first conference win.
Okay.
Softball also played this weekend, but they got swept by UC Santa Barbara. So they're 3-3 in conference. But
okay.
That's kind of what's going on right now.
All right, guys, that's going to be it for this week's episode of DT Pod. You can keep listening to podcasts, just not this one. Be sure to pick up a copy of the Daily Titan on campus or check us out at dailytitan.com to read the articles mentioned and more. Thank you all for listening. And as always, if you like us, we love you.
All right, Titans, don't get gone too soon. You know you got to stick around for a couple thank yous. So first of all, we're going to give a thank you to our executive producers, Isaiah Malari and Emily Wilson. Another thank you going out to our producer, Luis Vizcaino. Another thank you going out to our assistant producers, Michelle King and Randall Santos. And lastly, another thank you to Bijan Schuster-Risade for the music provided in this episode. Now that might be all for staff thank yous, but you know we always got to thank y'all for listening and tuning in each week to DT Pod. Thank y'all so much for listening to this episode. We'll catch y'all in the next one. Peace.